chile relleno taco.
Hello, this is Harry Hawk, and this is Talking About Everything, and I'm still in Mexico, that is Mexico City, and I'm talking to my friend Hill, as you know, the LGBT editor for Time Out Mexico City. I wanted to change the conversation. I have a lot of podcasts this week that I'm doing about food. I'm talking to chefs and things, but just as a guy growing up in Mexico City, so you're exposed to a very international cuisine, and I think people would be shocked that there's lots of Japanese restaurants, lots of Korean restaurants, French restaurants, Italian restaurants. But okay, so you're growing up, you're coming to know food as any human does, 3-4 times a day, we're all eating. What are your early food memories?
It's my great-grandmother doing tamales from part of Mexico that is Michoacán. They call ashes tamales because they put a little spark of ashes. And there is not like the traditional tamales with a corn leaf. It's with another leaf. There is like a strip, green strip, and they put the mass inside and make like a triangle form. Masa, yeah.
And what kind of plant is it, or leaf?
It's carrizo, and it's a green leaf.
And you say they make it into a triangle.
Yeah, in a triangle, and you put it on the pot and boil it. And then you have a tomato sauce, kind of spicy, put fried pork meat.
Pork chops.
Yeah. And you have your tomato sauce, a lot of tomato sauce.
And this is outside. This is served along outside. With it. Outside.
And then you put the tamales, because they are very small, a very small triangles. You put the tamales inside and you cover with some cream, some cheese and lemon and onion. And you eat it with like a soup.
Okay, and this is at that point when it's all together, the leaf has been removed?
Yeah, the leaf is removed and you put just the mass in the triangle form.
So obviously a family recipe. This is something that you grew up with. For is this an everyday meal, or is this only on the weekends, or is special holidays?
It's like a special holidays, but my family prepared it. For example, when I live in Mexico City and when I go there, my aunts always prepare it because they know that I really love that kind of tamales. Another memory is the mole. I don't know if the people knows the mole.
New Yorkers are becoming a little mole aware, but they still probably need a little education. Now, in New York, most of what we would find is a mole poblano, and it's served typically fairly sweet. I've had a similar mole here that was a little spicier. And then, of course, we know in Oaxaca, there's at least 13 kinds of mole, and I imagine mole from other parts of Mexico. What are your mole memories?
We said that it's a lot of mole as people prepare it, because each person put a part of them in that sauce. So for me, I like a really, really sweet mole with a lot of chocolate, because it has chocolate inside.
So this is the sort of the mole poblana that we get in New York. You'd be happy with it, I think.
I love it. I love it. For me, I prefer put more black chili to make a very dark sauce. Some people prefer very red. And I remember then my grandma was frying each chile, and when you put the chile in the oil, all this smog
would be the wrong word, but we would say steam or smoke, or
okay, and start to make you cough.
Well, this is very important. People don't know in the kitchen, but when we would cook pounds and pounds of chili, it literally will make you sick if you breathe it. And in America, in the kitchen, you would have to wear a gas mask to cook it properly.
Yeah, but the traditional women don't wear a mask, they just do it. So I remember that process when you have to fry the chiles and all this odor from the chiles, and you start to cough.
Okay, so then these are early food memories, and then to be at some point in your life that you're starting to take meals outside the home, what kind of food would your family or friends, where would you go, what kind of food would you eat?
Mexican families prefer to cook, but when we go outside to have dinner, we usually go for tacos. But I don't know why the American people do that kind of fried tacos. It's the tortilla very crispy, and the real tacos is not that in that way. It's a
more
way
of a flatos or something like
this. Yeah, it's the tortilla is not fried. It's not a tostada.
Now these very crispy ones we get commercially in New York City again, or all around the country, if you're going to a taqueria, it's going to be a soft taco.
Yeah.
But there's different sizes.
Yeah.
And when I go to a Mexican restaurant, a real Mexican restaurant, and by which I only mean, because I don't believe there's anything in terms of authentic, but a place where Mexicans are eating and they're serving Mexican food, there's two tortillas. And when it's a place that's more for the gringos, it's one tortilla.
Yeah. Do you know why?
Well, I assume because it's sustenance and we all want our starch.
No, it's because if you have just one tortilla, when you put the sauce, the first tortilla gets soft and broken. So they put two tortillas. And as the American or foreigners don't put a lot of sauce, just a little bit, the tortilla is keep together, you know?
All right. Well, that helps explain it.
Yeah, that's why.
All right. So we know that there's all kinds of fillings that go into tacos, but what's your top two fillings?
It's a kind of mole. Usually the mole is that you boil the chicken and put the mole over.
So a chicken mole? Or
yeah, but the chicken breast.
Shred it.
Yeah. And you put sauce and make like a little mass and put inside of a tortilla. It's amazing.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two?
The number two is chile relleno taco. It's amazing. It's a chile, a big chile filled with cheese and cover. I don't know how to say it, but it's eggs mix.
Like scrambled eggs.
Yeah. And you put it and fry it and you have it in a tortilla. Are amazing. And the third, the tacos al pastor, is pork meat with marinade in red sauce. They put it like in a vertical grill.
You need to think almost like a shawarma, which you would see in New York or other cities, and this is how they're grilling the meat. And we rarely see this in New York, and in my opinion, I've never had a good tacos al pastor.
Yeah, and I like the traditional, that is the meat with cilantro, onion, and a slice of pineapple. That's my favorite. So that's my top three.
Well, that's great. And we'll do a whole episode about tacos. So yeah. But I think that's good. Then at some point, you're no longer living at home. You're living on your own. Can you remember maybe one of the first dishes that you might have cooked for yourself?
For me, I really like the chiles rellenos. I usually prepare 2 times per month. And I really like this pork skin that we have chicharrón.
Yep.
And green sauce. That's one of my favorite too.
Okay, give me one more.
It's pork in green sauce with verdolaga. It's a plant, delicious with black beans.
And now, no conversation with me about food would be complete without talking about hamburgers. I won the 2008 New York City Burger Battle of the Boroughs. I've made and sold over 100,000 burgers. Do you have a relationship with a hamburger?
Obviously, yes. Here is a restaurant called Johnny Rockets.
An American chain, yes.
Oh my gosh, I guess they have the most beautiful hamburger in the city.
But I'm thinking about, we're talking about food memories, and can you remember your first hamburger or where you would have seen it? Or
I remembered one hamburger of General Rockets with my boyfriend. I went to this place. He's from Canada. He's not a very like a big chain restaurant. So he said like, oh, this is like McDonald's. Said, you're going to have a really nice hamburger. So we went there and he tried it and he was like very surprised because he traveled around the world and said like, oh my gosh, I have hamburgers in New York, in England, in France, but here in Mexico, this restaurant is amazing. So I guess this is one of my best memories.
Well, that's great. And to have it with a friend, a boyfriend, and all of that. Now, to speak a little Spanglish, what's the local word for hamburger?
Hamburguesa.
Hamburguesa. The hamburger has not only become a universal food, and it's clearly an American food that is inspiring chefs around the world. It's not just kitchen chefs and small chefs. Chefs at some of the greatest restaurants in the world are making hamburgers. And truly, despite everything that one might think, I think it is one of the hardest dishes to really prepare well. Now, for myself, I am very much a hamburger purist, which means in the spirit of Josh Ozersky, rest in peace, and my friend George Motz and others who have some affection for the pure hamburger. We're talking about a bun, the meat, maybe a little sauce or something, but that's it. But for yourself, do you like a lot of toppings or not?
For me, it's just the bread, the meat, cheese, a lot of cheese.
I'm against cheese.
never is enough for the cheese, you know?
No, I can like some interesting cheeses, maybe a Roquefort or something like this, but I am on the record of saying the number one thing that should never be on a burger is queso, no cheese. But speaking of cheese and that you like lots of it, what's your favorite cheese on a burger?
Roquefort.
Yeah. Like a blue cheese.
No, the yellow one.
So it'd be like an American cheese.
American cheese and Oaxaca cheese. There is a kind of cheese from Oaxaca.
How do they say it in Spanish?
Queso Oaxaca.
So literally Oaxacan cheese.
I guess if a hamburger doesn't have cheese, it's not a hamburger.
If a hamburger has cheese, it's not a hamburger, it's a cheeseburger.
Okay.
It has its own name. It's called a cheeseburger.
A little bit of lettuce. And a slice of tomato, and that's all.
Well, we can certainly agree on the tomato, and we'll have to fight over the queso. But we'll have a link to an article that the folks over at Schweid & Sons did where they interviewed me about hamburgers, and I'm very much on the record as being against cheese. But what I think that the evolution of the hamburger in particular, speaking as sort of as a chef, the early hamburgers, the meat wasn't necessarily very good, and it wasn't necessarily cooked well. And for me, the hamburger is about the meat and the high quality and the amazing taste of the meat, and when that all comes together, I think that works really well. But anyway, it's great to have a little bit of controversy. Let us know what you think about hamburger and cheese, and you know, you can let us know in the comments, or both of us have Twitter accounts, and you can certainly find Gil on Twitter. We'll have all of that at the end of the show. I want to bring this little episode to an end. Is there anything else that you want to mention about food and food memories that I haven't asked you?
I just want to say that if you want to try the real Mexican food, you have to come to Mexico City.
More than any other part of Mexico.
Yeah, and Oaxaca too. But I don't want to generalize it. What we saw in the American movies usually is not Mexican food. And I have a lot of American friends that the first time they came were like scared about the food. And when they really realize what kind of Mexican food is really, they surprise. For American people, it's easy to come to Mexico. So
talking about Mexico City. All right, so please tell everybody where they can find you online.
Twitter, I'm Gil Camargo.
How do we spell that?
It's GILCAMARGO _. And on Instagram as Gil Camargo too, but it's GIL_CAMARGO.
So two underscores.
Two underscores.
This is Harry Hawk, and this has been Talking About Everything. We're here in Mexico, Mexico City, but we just say Mexico. And I hope everybody has a great week. Bye-bye.
My name is Chuck Fresh, and I am being paid to thank you for listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. Harry wants to hear from you on Twitter at HHawk or HarryHawk@gmail.com. And now, a word from our sponsor, Life Extension Coach and favorite chef. Hawk Digital Marketing is focused on bringing brands and people together. We build communities of interest based on trust and transparency, where consumers and brands can converse, learn, discuss, or solve problems together, while creating a long-term connection, entanglement between you and your customers. Once connected, we help you engage, communicate, sell, present, educate, and inform. Evolve your communications with us. HawkSocialMarketing.com.